So let's just pray and just welcome or acknowledge the presence of the Lord who is already here and with us and speaking to us and speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I just thank you that you want to reveal your Son, Jesus, to us. I thank you, Lord, that you have a future and a hope for each one of us here. Thank you, Lord, that you've got a plan for our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. You want to empower us to be the people you've called us to be. And we just pray this evening, Lord, that you continually lead us on that journey. The journey of challenge, but the journey of blessing. And we just pray that we would be those who walk on the Jesus road, that walk in the way that you're leading us. And so, Lord, we just pray you bless this evening and this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So it's great seeing so many new people here and so many old people here as well. It's always good to have the old and the new. And it's just great having you here. So welcome. What we're going to do this evening is I'm going to be speaking from Isaiah 61, which is going to be part four of the four areas I've been speaking about over the last few weeks. And they're the areas I believe God's called us as a church to. The vision for core is this. Those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. You see, Jesus wants us to move from being observers to participators. From standing watching at what's going on to get involved with what Jesus is doing. In Matthew 4, which you don't need to find, I'm just going to fly to it myself because I'm the one. But if you want to, it's Matthew 4. When Jesus came, he proclaimed the kingdom of God. He said this, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," or "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Then what did he do? He proclaimed the kingdom. He called then people to be part of the kingdom. He says this, "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And then what did he do? He modeled the kingdom. He proclaimed it. He called people to be part of it. He modeled it. And then he anointed and commissioned his people to be ministers and witnesses of the kingdom. And guess who that is? That's you and that's me. And there's four areas I believe God has called us as a church to. Firstly is this, to welcome the outsider in. And we all feel outside for different reasons, don't we? Sometimes you may not know Jesus. Sometimes it's because what's happened to us in our lives. But Jesus wants to welcome us in so that we're not on the outside of his great plans for our lives. But he welcomes us in to his good and perfect plans for us. Secondly, God has called us to be a worshiping community. And I use the word worship will be the sign. God is calling us to be a community of both spirit and truth. For that is what the Father seeks. And we looked at Ezekiel 47 over the last few weeks when we see a restored sanctuary, the place of worship is restored. And when the place of worship is restored, when God is put in his rightful place at the center of the community, God releases the living water. It starts off as a drop, then it's ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then suddenly the power of God comes. And God does whatever he's going to do. Thirdly, God's called us to be a community of transformation or transform community. In other words, Jesus loves us too much to leave us as we are. He wants committed followers to reflect the character of Christ because transformed people transform community. It's like when we become Christ-like, we become attractive to the world because they want to hear the good news. And he wants us to be people of the good news. And finally, he wants to commission us, as he did with Jesus, to take the Father's love out into the community and beyond, to be witnesses of who Christ is and what he's done for us. So he's called us to be those who welcome the outsider in. He's called us to be a community of worship. He's called us to be a community of transformation, where it's about character. And he's called us to be a community that takes the good news of Jesus out to wherever God has called us to. And so what I'm going to read now is from Luke 24. It says this. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with the power from on high." And so God has called us to be witnesses of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. The ministry of Jesus is the key to the growth and health of the church. The ministry of Jesus is the key to the health of our community. And Jesus came in the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God to bring the kingdom of God. It says this in Matthew 3:16. "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" And so firstly, Jesus was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the power of God. He was affirmed by God's word for him, "This is my Son whom I love and I'm well pleased." And of course, we know he'd done nothing then, had he? His ministry hadn't started. But he knew that he was loved by God. Secondly, in Isaiah 59, it says this, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit who is on you, and my words that I put on in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants. From this time on and forever, says the Lord." So Jesus is anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit and is anointed for the ministry of God's word. And so when Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, he ushered in God's salvation plan in his person, in the ministry of Jesus, and through what he did upon the cross. And so Jesus, through Isaiah 61, begins to usher in God's salvation plan. So what does salvation mean? Anyone any idea? Come on, guys, what does it mean? That's one of them. Well, I'll tell you two meanings of it from the Old Testament. One is to be brought into a wide open space. And the second one is to be set free from factors which constrain and confine. So when Jesus brought in the kingdom of God, it was to unbind us. It was to set us free. It was to release us into God's plan so that we weren't restricted by life like this, but we're set free to be the people that God had called us to be. And when I was out in America, as I'm always out somewhere, I was in California in the Antelope Valley, and it's a huge, huge plain right in the middle of the desert, and it goes on for miles. And in the middle of the this beautiful plain is where they have those Joshua trees. It's where the U2 album, the shots of the U2 album were taken. And you can wander around and say, "I recognize that from the album cover." I was only joking. But anyway, it's this huge, great, wide open space. And it's awesome experience to walk in a place so big and so wide, and so you just wander around it and you feel so free. And you see, that's what Jesus wants to do to us. It says in the Psalms, "He brought me into a spacious place." And that's what God wants to do to us tonight, to bring us into that place of salvation, release us from those things that bind us up and contain us and stop us being the people God's called us to. He wants to set us free so we can have the joy of following Jesus. So Luke 4:16, if you can fly around with me, I'm not quite sure what page is it in the red Bibles, but it's Luke 4, which is somewhere towards the, somewhere in there anyway. So Luke 4:16, and this is about Jesus launching his public ministry. And it's quoting from the prophet Isaiah. It says this: "He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, 'Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Can you imagine that? Wow. It's incredible, isn't it? It's a right wow, isn't it, guys? Imagine Jesus saying, "Today, this is fulfilled in your presence." See, wow. And what Jesus did, he proclaimed what his ministry was all about. It started in the year of Jubilee. It says this: he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. It says in Isaiah 61, if you want to have your finger in that part of the Bible as well. It says in verse 2, he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the year of the Lord's favor is also known as the year of Jubilee. It's also known in Isaiah as the year acceptable of the Lord. It's known in Ezekiel as the year of liberty. And it happened every 50 years. And in the year of Jubilee, it would be a time where debts would be cancelled, slaves would be set free, and families would be restored to life. You see, when Jesus came and he was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was anointed in the year of Jubilee in order to show us what his ministry is about and what salvation is all about. Salvation is God's intention to free us to be the people that God created us to be. That's what salvation is all about. It's becoming the people God always intended you to be. And for some things happen in your life and it doesn't kind of work out. But he's come to bring back that hope. It says in Acts 3, salvation comes through no one else. It says salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. So Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." And so the first thing is that Jesus sets us free by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Who is on Jesus? What to set us free? And the original application of this word is to Isaiah the prophet. It's like a prophetic anointing. It is through revelation that Jesus will minister to the needs of the people. It's a prophetic anointing that came upon Jesus. He could see what the Father was doing. He could see what God was doing in people's lives. And he spoke the word, and God released them from all sorts of things. And secondly, Jesus sets us free, one, through the anointing, and two, through God's word. He says, "The Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And who are the poor? Well, the poor are those who are conscious of their need for God. And they're looking to Jesus to meet it. And the thing about Christianity, about what we believe, is we're all incredibly needy, aren't we? We can all have a big smile on our face, but inside it can be killing, can't it? But Jesus said, "I'm good news to the poor. I'm good news to those who are hurting. I'm good news to those who have no hope. I'm good news to those who are in pain." And so Jesus was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit to set us free. And Jesus sets us free free through God's word. And the first thing that Jesus does in this part of, as explained, a number of characters of Jesus' ministry, is that he came to bind up the brokenhearted. So what does that mean? No idea. Well, the term heart in the scripture means, describes who we are. It's our personality. It's the essence of our being. And it says that Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. And our hearts break or are damaged. We can be damaged to our minds, through our emotions, through our spirit, through our soul, through our bodies. And when our heart's broken, it can have a horrendous effect on our life. And it can lead us into all sorts of ways of living life out of that pain. And Jesus said he's come to bind up the brokenhearted. And a good few years ago, my brother used to live in Harrow, and I was sharing a room in his house. And we went down to Harrow in the evening for some food, and he lives on the hill somewhere. And we went into Harrow, had a restaurant, had some food. And as we're going back up to his house after eating, my brother, there's a pub up there called The Castle. He says, should we go up for beer? So we went into the pub for a drink. And he went to the bar and ordered a couple of drinks in. And as I was standing there, there's a man standing in the corner who was kind of looking at me. And for some reason, my eye kind of noticed him. And I thought, there's something about that guy. So anyway, my brother was ordering the drinks in. And before I knew it, I began to speak with this person. And he said to me, he goes, you're very real, aren't you? Like, I said, well, what does that mean? You know, you're very real. And then he said to me, he goes, you've got something to say to me, don't you? And I thought, well, what on earth have I got to say to this person? You know, I've never met this person in my life. And I felt the Lord say, tell him that I love him. I thought, well, not that one again, not Jesus loves me. Please, not that one, any other one than that one. And so I said to him, with a pint in hand, I said, do you know that Jesus loves you? And he says to me, he goes, I've been walking around Harrow all day today. And I prayed to God and said, God, if you're real, someone would tell me that Jesus loves me. And then he, and I don't know how you get these words, but I said, you're dying of AIDS, aren't you? He goes, yes, I am. And so me and my brother, we kind of stood around and he had a pint in the hand and we held his hand in the pub and we prayed for him and we welcomed him into the kingdom of God. And we prayed for him. And we prayed the Lord would heal him from the pain of his life, all the broken things that happened to him. See, Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. Isn't that great? And that's why it's so exciting to know Jesus and to be able to tell people about Jesus. So how can our hearts be broken? Well, this man's heart was broken because he had a broken relationship in his life. And we live in a society where relationships are broken in so many ways. When I was working in Luton, when I was working in Stevenage as a youth worker on housing estates, I met many, many young lads and young women who had a broken relationship. Their father left them. Their mum or dad was on the drink. They'd been abused. All sorts of things had happened to them in their lives. And they're broken people. And they long to know the love of Jesus. They long to know the good news. And you see, the breakup of family and the breakup of relationships has brought and bred a broken-hearted generation. A generation in pain. A generation that are addicted to drugs, to sex, to pornography, to binge drinking, to violence. Anything to alleviate the pain. It's a generation that are scared of relationships. They don't want to repeat what's happened in their families. They're full of fear. They're full of insecurity. Many have lost hope for the future. But what does Jesus do? the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon who? Jesus. To proclaim good news to the poor. To bind up the brokenhearted. To set free the addicted. To bring those who have broken relationships into wonderful relationships. And you see, it doesn't matter what your background is. Jesus is incredibly good at healing the past. My dad was brought up in a number of children's homes when he was growing up. And that had a devastating effect on his life in the early days. But when he met Jesus, Jesus began to bind up his broken heart and began to help him trust again. And if you meet my dad now, you'd never believe what his past was, because that was his past. See, Jesus has a great future for us because he's come to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. And our hearts can be broken when those things which we think are reliable, that are going to last forever, break up. And often when a marriage breaks up, children are in a situation where they think, well, that must be my fault that mummy doesn't love daddy anymore. And they feel rejected and insecure. But Jesus wants to bind up the brokenhearted. And I remember when I was very young, I remember I'd been looked after by a babysitter, and the babysitter was quite an unresolved person, to put it politely, and I was quite badly abused, sort of emotionally, physically, by that person. And over my life, I used to be really scared of losing someone who I really loved. And I remember I was terrified when I was very young of my mum going out of the room, or terrified of my dad going out of the room, because I was scared that the person who I loved was going to leave me with the person who's going to do something to me. And that was something that I had to deal with over many years, as I had to learn to trust people that they weren't going to do that to me. But you see, Jesus used things in my life in order to bind that up, to bind that broken heart up, to trust again, to build relationship, to know that the person has got the best for you. And it's amazing when Jesus does that to you, because it's gone. It's disappeared now, but it was a hard place to move from that place to the place I am now. And I know that Jesus' ministry wants to set us free from all these things that people do to us, whether it's emotional abuse. I remember praying for people who are in their 80s, who are still trying to please their parents, still trying to live out of that. I know their parents have died, but they're still living out the fact that they're 80 years old and still trying to please their parents. I've ministered to physically abused people, spiritually abused people, and sexually abused people. And often when we've been exposed to these things, it leaves a trauma in our lives. And has a profound effect on the way we relate to each other. But God wants to set us free from these things, because that's what Jesus does. He comes to bind up the brokenhearted. And Jesus' ministry reflected God's character and his nature. Jesus showed us what God was like. And he paid great attention to the people he ministered to. He showed incredible care and respect and love for people. And as we welcome Jesus into our hearts and into our lives, it is a start and the beginning of the healing process. He helps us face the unfaceable and to restore us. So Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm going to move on very swiftly here. He said also, he's come to proclaim freedom for the captives And the word captive has two meanings. It's a person who's been locked up in a prison because he's broken the law. Or when we break God's law, we're imprisoned by guilt, shame, feelings of uncleanliness. And Jesus frees us from our prisons through forgiveness, through cleansing, and through unlocking. And you see, so often Jesus does things in our lives by setting us free, but we're still sitting inside the prison, aren't we? The door is open, we've been set free, and we're sitting in this space because it's familiar to us. But what does Jesus want to do? He wants to invite us out into where? Wide open spaces. To set us free, to set the captives free. So salvation is all about. Jesus wants to release us from darkness. He says this. He says he's come to release the prisoners from darkness. Darkness can mean two things. It can be physical darkness, that Jesus wants the blind person to see, but also physical darkness, where those do not know God, God brings his light, and suddenly you get it. I remember, have you seen those, those magic eye things? You stare at them. Have you seen those things? Where someone tells you, they give you this picture of magic eye, and you look at it, and they go, it's a fluffy bunny. You go, what? I can't see that. And so you stare at it, and you stare at it, and you still don't see it. And you stare at it, and suddenly, one day, you get it, don't you? You suddenly see the fluffy bunny. And it's like with Jesus, suddenly you get it. Suddenly you understand. And it's like telling a joke, and then suddenly getting the punchline, isn't it? You're leading up to it, then they tell you the punchline, and you get it. And it's like our spiritual eyes are suddenly turned on as Jesus reveals himself to us. I remember years ago, my dad was out in Russia, and he'd been speaking at this conference, and there were quite a few people there, and he told a joke, and he said the joke, and nobody laughed, and he kind of thought, gosh, they obviously didn't understand the joke, because it was a really, really funny joke in his perspective. Anyway, a couple of days later, we were sitting around someone's house eating some food, and this guy suddenly went, just broke down laughing and laughing and laughing. He goes, I get your joke. You see, it's the same with the kingdom of God. I can tell you all about it, but he can make it work. Suddenly your eyes can see. You can see the fluffy bunny. And as I wind up now, finally Jesus comes to comfort all who mourn. And what is mourning? Well, mourning is often a result of the death or loss of someone or something. And in Jewish culture, ashes are smeared on the heads of those who are grieving. But what does it say here? It says, Jesus comes to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And you see, Jesus wants to wipe off the ashes and replace them with a beautiful crown. He wants to pour his oil upon us, to lift off the spirit of despair and replace it with a garment of praise. And he wants to establish us as a people, as a display of his splendor, anointed by God for his ministry to rebuild, restore, and renew the life of others. And Jesus called us to be witnesses of this, as I said to you in Luke, as we're just about to head into some prayer. He said this, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And so the ministry of Jesus is a key to the growth and the health of the church. The ministry of Jesus is key to the health of our community. Jesus was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he proclaimed God's word, and he ushered in the year of Jubilee, and he wants to usher that in with amongst our people today. And so shall we stand? We're going to maybe have just a bit of worship, just one song just to get us into.
We got a drummer. Oh, we'll do it with that.
They always go missing, don't they, drummers?
Could sing of your love.